It is January the 26th, 2012. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerwick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling and MMA news. And today, a very special guest. I'd like to welcome former TNA star, Jesse Neal. How you doing today, Jesse?
What's up, man? Doing good, brother. How about you?
We're doing very good, and we do appreciate your time. How's everything going since departing TNA?
I don't know. It's actually been good. I was actually kind of scared to leave TNA just because, you know, I've worked so hard to actually get signed and stuff like that, and then I'm the one that initiated the release and stuff. So it was kind of very touch and go there. But, you know, once I got the release and stuff and calmed down a little bit and let the nerves settle, it's just all I got to do is stay positive and look forward to the future and look for bigger and better things, you know.
Why don't you go ahead and up front address what happened with TNA and why are you no longer with the company?
Well, I mean, it just jumps down to that we didn't see eye to eye with the way they wanted to go with me. Meaning, you know, they wanted, obviously everybody knows they wanted me to go to OVW, and which I was perfectly okay with that. I had no problem going to OVW. A lot of the greats, you know, have come out of OVW. Obviously, when it was WWE's developmental and stuff, now it's TNA's developmental. So I definitely look forward to it. So I asked, you know, a little bit of questions, of course, since they wanted me to go there and stuff. So, you know, they answered them, and we definitely didn't see eye to eye. Basically, the questions and answers were this, you know, they wanted me to go up there and train for 6 days a week and 3 shows a week. So, and I'm like, that's awesome, you know, because I've been telling them, you know, I want to be busy, I want to be busy, and everybody's wrestling life, that's all they want to do is wrestle, 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 and that was awesome, you know what I mean? I'm going to do nothing but get better and, you know, and grow with the company and, you know, and just better myself for the fans and, you know, for myself, of course. But, and then, of course, any smart person, the next question would be, how much money? And the money wasn't even close. You know, we definitely didn't see eye to eye on the money part. So that was the downfall, and they obviously wanted me to move right away. And I didn't have the money to move up there, relocate, stuff like that to a new area. It's a big move because I live, you know, in Orlando, Florida, and the training is up in Louisville, Kentucky. So it's a huge move, you know, for me and my fiance because she was kind of, sort of still with the company, no contract, but, you know, a show-to-show basis, and, you know, they weren't saying nothing what they were going to do with her, so we didn't really know what, you know, there was basically a lot of planning that needed to go into it and stuff, and obviously we didn't have the finances to do it right away, and after that, we really didn't see eye to eye, so I just, you know, I'm like, you know what, better to not burn a bridge, or, you know, I don't like hating anybody and stuff like that, so I might as well cut ties before it gets too bad, so... And like I said, we didn't see eye to eye, but there's no burnt bridges, no hard feelings, nothing like that.
A two-part question. One was, what was your reaction to TNA signing a deal with OVW for training? And number two, when you heard about this deal, did you think you'd be asked to go to Louisville since you had been with the company since 2009 and you had really been a trained wrestler since, what, 2007 when you trained with the Dudleys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, when I heard about the OVW thing, I didn't really even think about, oh, what are they going to send me or not, you know, because I looked at it this way. If they wanted to send me, great, I'm training, or I can help train. You know, either way, it does not matter. But when I heard about the deal, I'm like, actually, the very first time I heard about the deal is when they came to me to send me. I was the very first person they were going to send, which kind of surprised me a little bit, and I don't want to, you know, seem like I have an ego or not, because that's... Trust me, my dad keeps me humble. Trust me, he would beat my ass if I ever let it get to my head, you know. And my fiance keeps me humble too. She'll beat me up a little bit too. But that was the first time I heard of it. Is when they came to me about it. And to be honest with you, I was really shocked with the comments that they said. Not just sending me to OVW, but the comments they said to me, which was three things. And for somebody like me, because I've busted my butt for a while, not for 5 years, you know, I've been doing it for a little less than 5 years, and it just hurt, you know, to hear these three things, and what was said was that, unfortunately, Jesse, you don't have a look, you don't have a body, and you need a lot more training, and for somebody that just came into the company, that's been in the business for years and years and years, and just come in the company day one, not day one, but, you know, very new to the company, and just all of a sudden tell me that, that hurt. It hurt a lot. And like I said, it didn't hurt my ego, but it just hurt me as a person because I have busted my ass for less than 5 years. And granted, I'm still new in this business and stuff like that. I still seen that. But I felt like I've accomplished a lot in such a short amount of time, and I felt like I was just basically being thrown away, you know, like there was no interest. And, I mean, before when I've wrestled with TNA just under 3 years, you know, I would come back through the curtain, you know, doing a segment or doing my thing out there, and, you know, I never really had any complaints. Of course, there was a little tweaking here and there. That's anybody, you know, because there's never a perfect match. And I learned so much from every little tweak that they gave me, but it wasn't anything like, you need to train more. What's this? What's going on? You need to work on your look, you know, stuff like that. I've never heard that before. Like, I mean, I thought I had a big enough mohawk. I didn't know I needed a bigger one. You know what I mean? But, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, and I'm like, okay, cool. You know, everybody has an opinion, you know, just like everybody has an asshole. But, you know, I just got to laugh at it now. But, I mean, it definitely hurt at first, but, you know, it is what it is. What was the second part of the question? Sorry, I go off on tangents.
Oh, I guess you kind of answered both of them. One was about OVW, and then did you think you'd be assigned to OVW when you learned that they had signed a deal with OVW?
Oh, yeah. It was very surprising. It was definitely surprising.
Who was the one that told you needed to improve your look and didn't have a body?
I'm not with the company anymore. I can say that. It was actually Bruce Pritchard that said that.
Okay.
And me and him get along. Like, I've never hated him, never disliked him, never had an argument with him, none. He was very, very nice to me, come right up to me, shake my hand, very polite. The conversation, when he said it was a polite conversation, very respectful, me and him, to each other. I mean, he told me time and time again on that conversation that, you know, he was sorry, that, you know, he's like, you know, you've been in the military and doing what you've done, you know, you've made enough sacrifices, you know, for your country and, you know, in your life, you know, I don't need to tell you that you need to sacrifice anymore. And I go, Bruce, you know, there's no need to apologize, because at the end of the day, it's just business. And that's the bottom line with anything. It's just business. I mean, I don't hate him as a person at all, not even close. It's just business, you know. And, you know, I respectfully requested my release from Dixie and Bruce. And shortly thereafter, they gave it to me. So it was very cut and dry. And if I ever talked to him on the phone again, it wouldn't be a mean conversation whatsoever.
I wondered what the reaction was from the TNA locker room, your friends, your associates, maybe the Dudleys, who were your trainers. Mm-hmm. Did they give you any advice about the situation when they asked you to go to OVW? Or what was kind of the reaction when you were sent there from the locker room?
I don't know. I kind of got like it was more of a shock. Not that they were sending me or anything like that, but just the details of it. You know what I mean? And, of course, in the wrestling business, word gets out before I even knew it, before I was even told, you know. But, you know, I just they knew I was doing great, you know, and in the locker room it was just unbelievable. Like, it was like a brotherhood, you know what I mean? We stuck up for each other. We took care of the boys. And in this business, the boys should take care of the boys. You know what I mean? And we definitely did that there. And I don't know. It's kind of some mixed feelings, because I kind of got the feeling that some of them were like, you know, you came to TNA with no name. You know, you busted your butt. You made a little bit of a name for yourself. You know, you're learning a lot. And now you're just leaving. But, you know, at the end of the day, I always have a bigger plan in mind. You know, I definitely wasn't meeting my goals. My short-term goals, I was definitely meeting. But, of course, you know, I want to be that big superstar. I want to be the best in this business. And, obviously, you know, TNA, they have one hell of a roster. Like, it's a great roster and stuff like that. But the way I was being written in the shows and the opportunity I was getting, I just wanted to be more busy. I wanted to be able to prove myself more. And I just felt like, you know, I just felt like some of those storylines that I was in were falling too short, that maybe I was just getting looked past and stuff like that. Which, you know, if that's the way the business and the show goes, then so be it. You know, I'm not a writer or I'm not in charge. But you know, it tells me that I need to be somewhere where I can get that shot. I can, you know, basically spread my wings and show the fans what I can really do, you know. And I just felt like I have a lot more to show to the fans, and I've been there for almost 3 years, and I still wasn't able to show the fans what I really can do. So I definitely look forward to the close future being able to show the fans what I can do.
What's the creative process like in TNA? I mean, do you have any influence or input into your character, your storylines, or is it just cut and dry? It's like, okay, Jesse, this is what we want you to do, and just go out there and do it.
Sometimes it was like that, you know, like it felt like it was like kind of thrown together, but you know, that's anything, you know what I mean? Last minute type changes and stuff. Cause you gotta tweak things here and there and stuff like that. And, you know, I fell into that category where, of course, I wasn't, you know, I was like the maybe mid Carter to lower Carter type of guy, you know, working my way up, of course. So, you know, we get tweaked a little bit here and there and stuff like that. But, you know, with my character, that's the thing with my character on TV, it's real. It's 100% real. Like, what you see is what you get with me. Like, my story is not BS. It is completely real. A lot of the video that a lot of people haven't seen, like, shows real emotion from me. I mean, I'd be in tears in interviews, you know, just because they would want me to talk about my story or something like that. That's how real it is. It ain't fake tears, you know what I mean? I'm not that great of an actor. But you know, I just feel like the fans were kind of force fed. Like every time they would take me off TV or put me right back on, they would always play the same story, like the little bit of story every time. And the fans started thinking, well, why do they keep showing this? Which I don't blame them, you know, because it was the same little bit every time. And I just felt like I was cheating the fans because obviously they know my story, but I'm not that guy no more. Now, I grew from that guy that went through the terrorist attack and stuff, and I became a better man for that. But I want to show them that person I've become, not what I was. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I just felt like I was playing the same story, you know what I mean, the same thing over and over again in my head. And on TV, like, people knew, they knew my story. They knew what's up. They didn't know the whole story, though. And I can't wait till the day I, you know, really tell my story. You know what I mean? Because, like, I mean, nowadays, I'm not holding nothing back anymore. Like, before, I was afraid, you know, what the government would say here and there and stuff like that. Now, you know, I'm an American. I'm a free man. I did my fighting for this country. Now it's time for me to be free and be able to tell the American people and the world what's really going on, what's happening and stuff like that. And if I can do that through wrestling, then so be it, you know, and I want to take full advantage of it.
Tell us what is happening out there. This is a crazy world. We're hearing,
it is,
you know, we got two wars and we're a pending war in Iran. What is going on out there?
It is so ridiculous, man, that we talk about fighting terrorism and stuff. And don't get me wrong, I am all about our troops. I have a cousin over there, and I've had past family members over there and stuff like that. I've been over there. You know, I've lost my best friend in a terrorist attack. I lost a lot of friends. We were like a family out there. You know, I've lost 17 of my shipmates out there. I know how it feels. You know, I've picked up my friends in pieces, you know, and put them in body bags. And actually, that's the first time I ever said that to anybody. But, you know, there's so much more that the people didn't see and they don't see. And I just wish, like, they would all open their eyes, because if everybody opened their eyes and believe in themselves and believe in what they see, not what they hear, what they see, then this country would be so much better. Like, these wars that we're going through and these idiots in the government, and I do mean idiots, because that's what they truly are, because all they are is about for money and oil and all that crap that they're going over there for. We're the terrorists. You know what I mean? The government is what the terrorists are. Because, like, I tweeted the other day, the meaning of terrorism. And that's exactly what our government is doing. And every chance I get, I mean, I might get in trouble with it, I might not, through the government or through whatever, and people might look bad about me, but it's the truth. What they get from me is the truth, and it might be the blunt, God's honest truth, but at least it's the truth. And, like, that, the pending war, like, what do we need to go to war for Iran? What have they done to us? None of them countries that we face, like, look what we've done to Afghanistan and Iraq and stuff. We have went over there. We have killed innocent men, women, and children that did not have bombs strapped to them, that had no... We've blown up schools. We have bombed countries illegally, and nobody talks about it. Like I even looked up like the Clinton administration. Yeah, Clinton did great by the economy, great by this. But when he was about to get impeached, he got impeached by some girl going under the desk. No, he should have got impeached because he bombed countries before he was going. Illegally bombing countries. And they were talking about, you know, like they were building bombs. No, it wasn't. It was a school of children. It killed people, innocent people. And the government's still doing that today. And if the American people would actually not really revolt or, you know, go crazy and riot and stuff like that, but just speak up, you know. Don't be afraid to speak up. Stand up for what you believe in. And this world would be a great, better place because, you know, these military commands and the government and stuff, we're going over these countries, and look what we did in, Kuwait, I think, or every single war that we've ever been in, we have basically took it over and put American base in there. That's terrorism. That's terrorism right there. You know what I mean? That's what I believe in.
I totally agree with what you're saying, and I definitely would encourage people to, you know, a lot of people get their news from ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News,
yeah,
CNN.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because who controls that?
Yeah, the corporations.
Exactly. I would
and
love
obviously,
it. And I'm not saying it's because he was a pro wrestler or anything, or a Navy SEAL. But if Jesse Ventura was in charge, this whole place would be such a better country. It would be.
I totally agree with that as well.
I mean,
I can't believe the persecution of this guy already. The media going after him, and he's done nothing. He's done absolutely nothing.
That is so proof right there of what the American government will do to us. They went after his children. Are you kidding me? Why are you going after a man's children for an opinion? I thought we were in America. We're not. People are blinded by this 9-to-5 job, and they're just in this thing because the government wants them to do that. They want them to depend on money. They want them to depend on their job and, you know, go to their day-to-day lives and stuff and not see what the real world is about. There are people in other countries, even Americans in other countries, suffering right now. There are people's sons and daughters suffering right now. But, you know, if Ron Paul was president and Jesse Ventura was his vice president, this place would be such a better – the world would be a better place.
I totally agree with you as well.
Sorry, I get a little emotional sometimes when I talk about this stuff, man. Like the
we're
stuff I've
very
seen,
like-minded
the stuff
there.
The stuff I've seen, the stuff I've been through – trust me, if the world would know that, it would be a different attitude. Trust me.
Well, it's just like the opening to conspiracy theory. It's like, I have heard things and seen things that would blow your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's
and,
it.
And
I mean, you guys see
that.
You guys
yeah.
you guys are there. You yeah. guys know what's going on over
yep.
there.
And,
you know?
And like, they want to, and you know, I mean, I went through a very, very, very bad instant, you know, thing in my career and stuff. But, you know, I've lost my best friend. Like, we were roommates and stuff. And, you know, he's like, he gives me strength, you know what I mean, to do this wrestling because we're huge fans of wrestling and stuff, and that's why I do it, because I want to get my story out. I want to tell people. I want to let them to not just better myself, obviously, and live my dream, but I want to make people better. I know it sounds cheesy or whatever, but I want to try to. If I can help that one person be themselves, then I've done my job in life. You know what I mean? Because as long as I'm happy, I'm gonna do my thing so I can try to make other people, you know, as long as they're independent and they stand up for themselves, they're going to be happy as well. And it would make everybody happy as long as they change one person's life and that person changes another person and that person, you know, it just keeps going, man. You can tell I watched The Secret and I read the book.
Well,
The Secret is
you know,
an amazing book.
The good thing is conspiracy theory is coming back for another season. They did
is
film
really?
An episode. Yeah, it's
that
coming
is
back.
Awesome. Because I know
just,
they stopped after the Denver airport one. That was very, very educational, wasn't it?
Well, they got the FEMA camp one's taken off.
Yes, yes. That was the one I wanted to see. Them FEMA camps, yeah. God, we can go on for hours about that crap. Everybody's like, oh, that's the safe. They're there to help us. Oh, really? Just like in New Orleans and stuff, they were there on time to help them people out, right? No, that was done on purpose. And yes,
they take their weapons.
The government can control the weather, and I believe that 100%.
You know, it's sad. You know, somebody that would have spoke out was Pat Tillman,
yes.
the NFL player that went into the service to serve his country in
yep,
Afghanistan. And he got there and he said, where's the Al-Qaeda?
Yep.
So rather
yep.
than him coming home, you know, they yep. killed him.
What? Exactly. Exactly.
So, like we're saying, if nothing else from this interview, stop watching ABC, NBC, yes. CBS, CNN, and Fox. All of them are the same yes. thing.
They
all have a slant.
You know, I would love to get out to people, and of course, they need to watch me on TV when I get back on TV. But sure. everything else, learn where the power button is. Turn the TV off for a little while. Enjoy your life. Look, you know, open your eyes. Look what really is going on out there. Don't believe everything as soon as you turn on the evening news or the morning news. It's all drama. It's all BS. And yes, that stuff is happening, but you can still live your life. The government puts that crap out there just to be scared. So you stay at home or just you think, oh, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and do my job and do this because they won't come after me or I'll be normal. No, you're letting them win. And when we let them win, you're not really living their life. And it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous what they do. And watching. I mean, I'm doing an interview. I don't plan on killing myself. I don't plan on getting any, you know, bad situation or anything like that. But, you know, if I come up missing, you know why.
Well, I mean, they passed FDAA. They can
yeah.
arrest American citizens without a
yeah.
warrant.
Martial law is coming.
I don't know. Like, again, I know this is a wrestling interview, but, I mean, this is so important to listeners out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Obama said he wasn't going to sign this, and then on New Year's Eve, you know, when nobody's
liar.
Paying attention,
yep.
he signed the piece of paper. It's law. They can arrest you for any reason, no warrant. They can lock you up. They can send you to FEMA
yep.
camp. They can send you to Guantanamo Bay for
they
any
can,
reason.
They
if they think
your
you're a terrorist, they can plant stuff on you.
Yeah. They don't even
yeah. –
you're 100% right. They don't even have to think you're a terrorist. They can come in. If you're,
right.
you're a threat to them, they can take you away. But let them try to come take me. I have plenty of weapons in my house. And I you know what? And I'm not even going to say it, I protect my own. I protect my own. That's all I can say.
Well, before I forget, I do want to thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you.
I know we get caught up in the wars, but the one thing is when you separate fact from fiction, the heroes are the guys serving the country.
Yeah.
You guys are the heroes. You guys are the front line. You're the ones, you know, taking out the bad guys. And for that, we do appreciate that.
No, thank you very much. And you know what? I could definitely I appreciate every time somebody tells me that. And that's why I try and I struggle so much or try to do my best in the wrestling business because I want to give that back too as well to the troops. And like my goal, everybody's goal is like, you know, either WrestleMania or, you know what I mean? If you want to know what my WrestleMania is, I'll let you in on this one. My WrestleMania is tribute to the troops.
Awesome.
I am going to do
that
anything
awesome.
And everything in my life or in my body capacity can do to get there. I don't care what I do. I don't care if I just walk out there and say hi or even backstage a part of it or even do like support the troop programs or anything like that. But I would do anything. That is my WrestleMania. That is my WWE Heavyweight Championship. It's just to walk out there for tribute to the troops and do something for the troops because that is where our freedom comes from. That is where our lives come from. That is what we are able to live our lives is because of men and women like that. And I would love, and that would make my whole career come full circle. I would fall to my knees and just, I do it for my boy. You know what I mean? The people I lost, the 17 shipmates that I've lost, and they'll be there with me.
And I, you know, like I said, you should thank a vet every day, and
yeah.
Especially those vets that come home and they're wounded, they can't do anything, they can't
yep.
find work. Everybody
yep.
wants to just, you know, totally
well,
pee on
me. Look at me. I'll give you a perfect example. It's been over 10 years, and I have trouble sleeping. I was going job to job to job. Because I kept losing my jobs because I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd come in late. I'd be falling asleep during work or whatever, these stupid odds and end jobs. If I didn't have wrestling, I would have nothing right now because I couldn't do it. I have night terrors. I have nightmares all night. I wake up screaming, like cold sweats. I mean, because of the, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome, that ain't no joke. That ain't nothing
right.
just for us veterans to collect money on. No, that's legit. That is real. Like, I still see my buddy, you know what I mean? Like, in my sleep, I wake up screaming. You know, I twitch. You know, there's all kinds of symptoms and problems that, you know, we all have, you know. And it doesn't stop with me. It's everybody that comes over there. And they're just trying to do their job for their family and protect their country. And like you said, I can't stress it enough. Like, when I go through the airports, I always thank a veteran or somebody that's still in the military in their uniform, you know, walking through. I always stop and shake their hand. I don't have to. I am a veteran, but I still make it a part of that, because you don't understand, like, if somebody hasn't been in the military, you just don't understand that appreciation when somebody comes up and shakes your hand and says, thank you for what you've done. That means the world. That means any amount of money in the world. You know what I mean? And if everybody did that, like, our military would be so more, I mean, of course they're prideful and stuff like that, but it means the world. I can't even, I'm like lost for words. It means a lot. And like, when you say it to me, like, it means a lot. Like, when people tell me that still, even though it's been over 10 years since I've been out, it still means the world to me. It still means that, you know, no matter what kind of bad stuff I've been through, I at least accomplished something. Somebody out there at least appreciates me.
It's you know, you appreciate your freedoms, and if we don't want to start appreciating our freedoms and embracing it, you know, we can lose it. I mean, people think naively that the United States will always be the United States, will always be an open and free country. Look at history, people. I mean, USA can fall just like any other nation or empire.
There's been stronger nations out there than what we are right now, and they fell. Look at the abandoned cities over in other countries and stuff like that that prospered, that were rich. And now they're nothing but empty buildings and dead bodies. Like, people need to appreciate what they have, and God, I'm lost for words. It's like, there's so many things that I can talk about this. I've studied. I've done my homework. But it's very true. And I mean, you always want to trust your government and stuff like that. But when your government has done nothing but lie to you, you kind of fall apart. And I always say about Obama, and of course he's our president and stuff like that, but he would be one hell of a person on the roster of wrestling. He would be one hell of a manager. He's one hell of a guy on a microphone. I think if Obama came into WWE or something like that, The Rock would have somebody to contend with on the mic or something, because he's very good on the mic.
Actually, I'd have to disagree with you on that, because I think if you take his teleprompter away, he couldn't talk.
True, very true, very true.
I mean, he is just a puppet. He's a puppet for these guys.
Yeah,
he is. As was George Bush. He's a puppet.
I wouldn't even say. I think a couple strings fell off of that puppet. He was an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get into that. All the conspiracies and shit. I was about to say, well, at least Bush did something about the 9/11 stuff, but we're the ones that did that. So the government's the one that did that. So it was all horse. The one I like, though, real quick, I hate to go off on this, but the one lie, it's so obvious it's a freaking lie, is the Pentagon. They're saying a huge-ass, 737 hit the Pentagon. When I knew somebody, and I forget their name, but it was a couple years back, I was told by somebody that was actually in the building that they had a drill of emptying the building prior to that being hit that morning. Now, why did they have a drill that morning, and why did most of the planes that are made to protect our borders and our air were overseas or doing missions in the middle of the ocean and stuff like that day? Right. And there was no big, huge passenger plane that hit the Pentagon, because there was nothing there. There was no evidence showing that. And people just need to open their eyes and see the truth. You know what I mean? That's all they got to do, is open their eyes and not believe what they hear, but believe what they see.
Going back to alternative media, there's media out there telling you the truth. It's just you have to find them.
Yeah, and that was, I think I told my fiance that yesterday, that I just wish some of the conspiracy theorists and stuff like that are so crazy. It's like, why would I want to believe any conspiracy now? And because they come up with some wacky-ass stories, man. I don't even know where they come up with this stuff. But if they just see both sides and not just believe what the government throws at you and forces down your throat, you know, they would actually see what's really going on.
Well, remember, when you're labeled a conspiracy theorist, it's obviously a negative or derogatory term in this United States, but what is a conspiracy theorist? It's just somebody that questions the official stories.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
And the government lies every – I mean, the government tells us, 8% unemployment?
Yeah, and they tell
us – You really believe it's 8% unemployment in this country? I mean, come on.
I think I helped the unemployment this year, so I helped to go up a point one 0.01%, I think, this year. But
you were
right.
That tenth of a percent jump, right?
I'm sticking to the government every which way I can.
Well, let's quickly go back to your tribute to the troops, your scenario for WrestleMania. Obviously, you're talking about possibly working for World Wrestling Entertainment. There was actually a report in the Wrestling Observer newsletter that you attended the just a show in Florida Championship Wrestling a few days ago, or actually about a week ago.
Yeah.
Is that true, and are you in talks with WWE for a possible deal?
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm just like everybody else trying to get a job there. You know, I mean, that's obviously that's a main goal if, you know, you're starting out or, you know, you haven't really been to the, you know, the dance there, and because obviously it's more money and it's everybody's dream, you know. I was there at FCW, me and my fiance. I'm done sitting at home. I'm ready to make some money and become a superstar in this business. And I believe WWE can definitely do that with me and actually tell my story the right way, you know. And I'm just like everybody else trying to get a job there, to be honest with you. I put in my application, I put in my resume, and sent some tapes, and I got some more tapes this weekend I'll be sending in and stuff, and just, you know, calling just like everybody else trying to get a job and doing whatever I can to get a good look.
One thing we should know, people listening to this interview, if you're hearing some hanging and banging, it's because Jesse is at the gym. So those promoters, the WWE out there listening, he's at the gym training right now. So he's taking things seriously.
I am actually in better shape right now than I've ever been since I've been wrestling. And it's crazy. It's crazy how it sounds, but you know, I've been back in the ring training this past week and stuff like that, working on some new things, some new, really cool new things. But I've really been hitting the gym really hard, just trying to, you know, work on my body, you know, my my look and stuff like that, you know, because I heard I don't have a look, so I need to work on that. I got a joke about it. But you know, I've been working really hard, and yep, I'm definitely in the gym. I'm sitting in a nice leather chair right now, but you know, I've already did my workout, so.
You know, you were talking about, you know, TNA telling your story, and they've definitely told part of your story, and you're saying that you wish that they could have maybe told more of your story, or maybe you could tell your story in WWE. Do you feel that TNA just didn't tell the full story of Jesse Neal?
To be honest with you, I just think that, and I'm not saying anything bad about TNA or nothing like that. They definitely put in the work to tell my story, but from there, we got it all on camera and stuff like that. They're like, there's a lot of promos that's seen the light of day. It never seen the light of day whatsoever. Like, I did one promo one time. It was when Bin Laden, you know, was found dead. We killed him, which was all bullcrap anyways.
Right.
Because we didn't.
Jesus, we didn't.
There's so much crap behind that, too.
We buried him at sea, remember?
Yeah, like, who does that?
A 10-year search, and then one day later, we dump him in the sea.
Like, I was in the Navy for 4 years, and we've never done that.
Right.
Like, who would do that? There would be, I mean, there's pictures of freaking Michael Jackson dead, for crying out loud. Wouldn't you think there'd be pictures of him dead? You know, it's just, it's crazy, man. Like, just the lies. But anyway, what were we talking about? God, I hate the government.
TNA telling your story.
Yes. Sorry, T-Rex. I just, to be honest with you, I thought it was force-fed fans too much the same little story. You know what I mean? And what I mean by little story is just parts of it. It didn't say the whole thing. And, like, there was a time where Vince Russo sent me out, and, you know, I did what was in the segment and stuff. And he said, you know, Jesse, when you get out there and you do what you got to do, tell them to cut your music, and you have the mic. You can say whatever you want. Just do your thing. Wow. You know what I mean? I was, like, floored. I'm like, thank you so much. And that was such an emotional moment. Like, me and Shannon were in the ring, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. But that never seen the light of day. You know, and that's what I mean by the whole story. And that wasn't even the whole story. That was just, you know, a little bit of why I do what I do and for the fans. And I'm telling you, like, everybody was in tears, you know what I mean? It was a very emotional moment, and a lot of things in the wrestling business that makes money, that's entertaining, that people really sink their teeth in is the emotion in the business, you know, the reality of the emotion, you know, and that was so real. It doesn't get any realer than that, but it didn't see the light of day. And then there was a lot of things where, like I would go up to Norfolk and I would do some things with my boys, and I went to the memorial thing. That actually only went on the internet. You know, it didn't see TV. We were doing it for a TV segment, but it never seen the light of day on TV. So of course the crowd that actually got to see that was minimal. You know, it was just on the internet, and not a lot of people got to see it. You know, and I just, to be honest with you, I just wish a lot more people got to see it and stuff like that, but they didn't. They just seen, you know, like a one-dimensional wrestler, basically, with a story, which there's so much more to me than that, you know. And I just, you know, I hope one day, you know, I get the honor and the opportunity to work with WWE or even maybe in Japan or something, and just be able to get my story out really and to show the fans what I really can do. And I kind of regret, you know, because, like, I don't want to say the last 3 years was a waste of time, because it wasn't. It was one hell of an opportunity, and I was very grateful for it. But there's just so much more, you know.
Yeah, we got a question here from Twitter. Somebody wants to know, how did people social media now. I said, how did people react when it was learned that you were applying for food stamps?
Oh, yeah, that was all. That was a joke. That was a stupid joke that it's like a nightmare regurgitating itself in front of me all the time. I wasn't on food stamps. I mean, I probably could have been, but, I mean, the qualifications to be on food stamps is crazy now, because there's the government trying to take control and give you a little bit here, but they take so much more. You know what I mean? But I never once received a food stamp. That was a bad joke, and I said a joke publicly between me and my fiance, but I myself never applied for food stamps.
Okay, you set the record straight there.
Yes, yeah, there has never been an application or a food stamp with my name on it. I've never applied for food stamps.
And the same person, Vi, asked, some have claimed mid-carders get exploited and mistreated by TNA. What do you think?
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, when I was there, I knew my place. I didn't gripe. I didn't, you know, complain. I didn't do anything. I did the best I could with what I was dealt with, and I think I did a pretty good job with what I was dealt with. And I was new, you know. I mean, I had to, you know, it takes a while in the business, and if people have never been in the business, you know, they don't really know that, you know, the top guys that really get pushed and runs, they've been in for a while. You know what I mean? They've been doing it a while, and they deserve it, you know. And, I mean, to be honest with you, of course I would have loved to have been pushed more. Anybody would. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that. But I knew my place, you know, and I knew what I have to do, and I made plans and goals from that, and I'm still following my goals, and I'm still on schedule with what I want to do.
You know, I think one thing that people don't really understand about TNA is that, yeah, you have a contract, but you have a contract for so many dates they're willing to pay you.
Yeah.
So even though you have a contract, it may mean that you're not making a lot of money at the same time. And
right.
A lot of these people that are working, you know, for TNA, you know, they still have to do other jobs to supplement their income.
Oh yeah.
So I know a lot of TNA wrestlers that work outside of TNA. A lot of them bartend and do other odd,
mm-hmm.
odd jobs. So,
yep.
You know, it's just because you're on TV. I think a lot of people think, oh, because you're on Spike TV, you must be making a lot of money. It just doesn't quite work that way in this business.
Hell, I even thought that until I got there.
So you saw the paycheck, right?
Yeah, I seen that. I was like, oh, my God, what am I doing? But, you know, like I said before, you know, you got to pay your dues.
Laura from Twitter wants to know about, does TNA pay medical bills for wrestlers when they get hurt? Another can of worms here.
Yeah, let's open them. I don't care. I mean, honestly, when I almost broke my neck at Sacrifice, I was dumped on my head. I was paralyzed for like 15 seconds, and I finally was able to move. It was like almost like where you think you're sleeping, but you're not sleeping, and you just jump up. You know, it kind of felt like that. It was very scary. I had to get an MRI done. They wanted me to go to the ER that night, but I'm like, no, you know, everybody's trying to be a tough guy, you know, that type of thing. But I'm like, let's just set a doctor's appointment for tomorrow or whatnot and stuff. And I went to do my MRI, and they actually did. They did pay for the MRI.
But, of course, you know, everybody knows you go to the hospital, there's more than just the initial pay, you know. I mean, I got like 3 bills sitting at the house, you know, I got to pay. I mean, they're not huge, but they are medical bills, and they're in my name, you know, my social's on it, and it goes against my credit, you know what I mean? And I'm not with the company no more, so I guess I got to suck it up and take care of myself. But they did, I honestly can say that they did pay for the initial MRI. Yes, they did.
Who came up with the Ink tag team, and what did you think of it when they put it together?
I mean, to be honest with you, at the beginning when Shannon came in with Jeff and stuff, I almost crapped my pants a little bit because I'm like, oh, great, another guy with tattoos and mohawk, and he's a hell of a lot more experienced than I am. And I thought I was going to have to take a bench sheet, you know what I mean, for a while, or maybe that other gun. But Shannon's an awesome guy, man. I give it up to him, and he's I consider him a great friend, and he taught me a lot. And he came up to me. He's like, hey, man, what do you think about teaming up? And I'm like, dude, that would be an honor. Like, I was at WrestleMania in Orlando, and I watched him in the Battle Royal at the beginning of the show. You know what I mean? And now you want to tag with me? That's insane. You know what I mean? That's like a dream, you know? So I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. We talked about it and stuff like that, and Russo, he liked the idea. Everybody in the office loved it, and they're like, yeah, let's do something different. Let's do something cool. And me and Shannon were down with it, so that's how we began, you know? We kind of just talked about it ever since then.
What's your opinion of Dixie Carter as a boss and as a administrator of a wrestling promotion?
Man, I can't say anything bad about Dixie. I honestly can't, and I'm not trying to cover myself or anything when I say that. She's always been nice to me. I'll give you an example of how nice she was to me. She would be the first one on Veterans Day to come up and give me a hug and say thank you for your service. And I already talked about how much I appreciate that. Like, it was just insane, you know, how she really appreciated it. And when I would go out there in my uniform to show my support and stuff like that with the flag and all that good stuff, she would always be the first one to be in the back hugging me and stuff. And it's a good moment, you know what I mean? It was I really felt appreciated, you know. And, I mean, out of everybody in the office, I would call her or text her. She would get right back with me or answer my phone. She would be the one to always get back with me. So, I honestly cannot say anything bad about her. She's very nice. She's a good boss.
How much really changed when Bruce Pritchard came in, the change from, like, Vince Russo to Bruce Pritchard?
All right. To be honest with you, I don't even think I was there long enough to really see any difference. I believe the only difference that I seen and I felt was, you know, hey, what's going to happen now? You know, because he took over talent relations and head of creative. So I'm like, wow, that's a big step for one person to do. But hell, let's see what happens. And it was a big change. I felt a huge change. I honestly thought that they didn't like me anymore.
You don't have a look.
Yeah, I don't have a look or a body, so I don't know, man. I don't believe in drugs, so I got to do it the hard way. You know what I mean? So, I mean, ibuprofen's really good, and Aleve. I live by Aleve. You know? I got to do it the hard way, so I got to work on that. But I'm 230 now. All right, I'm working on it. But I mean, to be honest with you, I never really got into the office part of the business and stuff. I stayed out of it. I do what I'm told when I'm told, and I keep my mouth shut and try to take something from it. You know what I mean? And make money. You know, that's basically my goals and what's in my head when I drove up to TNA Impact. You know, I was just there to do my job and do it the best I can to show somebody that I belong. You know, that's what I wanted to do.
Were you ever drug tested in TNA?
Yes, I was drug tested, I think twice a year, I think it was. So it was like, I was there for almost 3 years. So I think I was drug tested a total of 6 or 7 times. Like, it was, they definitely drug tested. And the results definitely come back. I mean, I could just speak for myself. And I passed every time. Just want to go on record by that.
Okay. Because if not, we would have heard about it, right?
Oh, I'm pretty sure you guys would have heard about it.
What would you say was the highlight of your TNA experience?
I would probably
favorite moment,
say,
favorite match or anything?
I don't necessarily have a favorite. I mean, obviously, like, me and Shannon against, like, Beer Money and the Young Bucks, Generation Me, they were so much fun. I learned so much wrestling with Beer Money on the house shows. I got to lock up with Kurt Angle and do some things with him on the house shows. That was a huge honor because I truly look up to Kurt Angle. He's awesome. He's a machine, man. He's unstoppable. And I guess the biggest thing is probably teaming up with Team 3D. You know, back in the day, it was Team 3D, me, and Rhino. It was only for a very short period of time. But that was fun, man. That was some good times. And obviously, me and Bubba, we wrestled, and he put a hurting on me. I'll tell you that much. That was definitely an eye opener for people that, you know, this new generation. I wanted to show people that I'm here to pay my dues. I'm here to do my thing. And Bubba beat the crap out of me, and he taught me a lot in and out of the ring. So I would probably say that. That would be and of course. I looked forward to other future matches there in TNA. Like, to be honest with you, I wanted to do our run with Ink Inc. and split up with Shannon and go against Shannon. I looked forward to that. Me and him actually talked about that, and that would have been so much fun because he knows my stuff and I know his stuff, and we have great timing together, and we'd have had so much fun.
Ink versus Ink.
Yeah, that would have been a blast, man. That would have been one hell of a story.
And can you clear up the status of your fiance there, Toxin? She's no longer with TNA as well, correct?
She was never under contract. They just brought her in show-by-show basis. She was getting a lot of work, and I think they were working on that. And she was just left in the dark, to be honest with you. Like, my whole ordeal was going on, but I think they were putting her with me too much because my belief, business is business. She keeps her business to herself, and I keep my business to myself, meaning, you know, contract-wise, money-wise, that's all her, and mine's all mine. You know what I mean? But when we leave the building, we leave as a couple, we live together, all that good stuff. But I honestly think that TNA just thought that since we're engaged that she was going to leave with me, but she's willing to do whatever it takes. You know what I mean? Like, she's with me now trying to get with WWE or Japan. You know, we're trying to, you know, spread our wings and be a couple on the road, be a couple on TV. Like, because we had some cool stuff, like our last pay-per-view, we did a double team move. Like, that was just the beginning of us. Like, people don't even know what me and her can do together. You know, it was going to be some fun stuff, but, you know, it happened between me and TNA and then her too, obviously. They just, you know, basically stopped calling her and stuff. So, but at the end of the day, she wasn't really contract. She never signed a contract or anything like that, so... She's still a free agent and was a free agent.
You mentioned Japan. That'd be interesting because we've seen a lot of former TNA and WWE stars go over to Japan. Have you heard anything from Japan? And maybe we'll see you there.
Nothing yet, but you never know what tomorrow can come. You know, whatever. As soon as my phone rings, I'm on a plane gone. You know what I mean? I'm definitely down for that. I love the Japanese style. I love the Japanese culture. I would love to go over there and visit. I've never been over there, but. Like the honor and the respect that they have, I would love to be a part of that. I mean, that would be awesome. And plus, I would learn so much from those guys. And like that, just the style alone, it would be awesome to go over there and do and just, you know, learn from it. And I definitely think it'd be fun, especially with my look. I think I would be pretty good over there.
You have a look?
I have a look.
You have a body?
I have a look. A certain somebody told me that I have a look. I'm not going to say who did, but, in the next few months, hopefully, you guys will see who did. Hopefully. As long as that phone rings and it says one name on it, I'll be happy.
There you go. I think I might know who you're talking about.
Maybe. I don't know.
Just curious, who was your all-time favorite wrestler?
When I was a kid, it was Sting. But then I stopped watching it for a little while. I got out of it. Sting, because he was always that hero. I was a big American Hero fan, or Captain America fan and stuff like that. But he was like that Captain America for me, you know, in wrestling. And everybody else was a Hogan fan. Sorry, Hogan. But I was a Sting fan. I got to admit, I was definitely a Sting fan. And to be side-by-side with him, getting advice from him, it was an honor. Then I got out of it for a while, but then I got back into wrestling in my high school years. And then, especially in the Navy, I always had parties at my house and stuff, little get-togethers for the boys and stuff. and pay-per-view parties, and I was a huge Triple H fan. Huge Triple H fan. Like, I even wore the jersey.
You're down with the game, huh?
I love the game. You got to love the game in this business.
You know, it's interesting growing up, you're talking about, you know, being a Sting fan or Hulk Hogan. I mean, back in the day, it used to be like you were either a Ric Flair fan or a Hulk Hogan fan.
Yeah.
And then you throw in Sting, too, and it's like all of them work for TNA now. Isn't that kind of
it's crazy. And then, I mean, my last match was Ric Flair was a part of it. That was an honor. You know what I mean? That was awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, and the funny thing is that I look at it this way. All three of those guys have put me over on TV.
Wow.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I'm not there anymore.
Well, for a guy that has no look or no body, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, me and Kurt Angle, I definitely consider him a good friend, and I definitely look up to him. He, right after I left, you know, he tweeted me publicly, putting me over, saying I'm a great wrestler, that he loves me, and God bless, you know, good luck in the future and stuff. And that means a lot, you know what I mean? Because he didn't have to do that, you know what I mean? So the time I spent with him in that company, it meant something, not just to me, but to him too. And him to take his, you know, a couple seconds to do that publicly, that was amazing. That's awesome. That gives me hope for my future, you know, that type of thing. So,
what did you do between the time when you got back from the service? What did you do before you got into wrestling?
Oh God, this goes public, right?
Only if you wanted to.
Yeah, I didn't do anything bad or anything. My dad's been a cop all my life, and I live with him. So, and he's a couple cities away from me, like literally 15 minutes away from me. So I definitely can't do anything too bad. But a family friend owned his own landscaping business. So I was doing landscaping and irrigation and stuff. And I actually caused an accident one time. I took my shirt off. It was funny. I was doing landscaping, and I took my shirt off and caused an accident on the highway. I would like to say it was because of me, though. It wasn't too bad. Nobody got hurt. It was just a fender bender. Somebody wasn't paying attention. They were looking at me. but that was fun. It was got a lot of sun. I had one hell of a tan. Did that. I got into serving. I was serving tables, bartending. Bartending was fun. Made some really good money doing that. And then I went to bouncing. I started bouncing at Blue Martini Orlando. And did that for about a year. Me and a couple friends, we were like a cohesive unit, man. We took care of business. And just one day, all of a sudden, I go, what am I doing with my life, man? I need to do something. I'm tired of, you know, doing that 9-to-5 thing. You know what I mean? I feel like I need to do something bigger in my life. I need to mean something in my life. I need to act on it. And the very next day, I went down to Team 3D Academy right there in Kissimmee, Florida, 15 minutes from my house. And I met Bubba. He was the first person I met when I walked through the door. And the rest is history, man.
Well, you know, I was looking back at 2011. It was an interesting year for you, obviously. I believe you signed a contract in 2011 with TNA. You got engaged. And then at the end of the year, you're no longer with TNA. So
it was one crazy year, man. Yeah, I signed my second contract.
What a way to reflect on that.
I signed my second contract with TNA, which was a great moment. It was a three-year contract. And then I got engaged, and then I quit my job. So it was a pretty crazy year.
Well, how's the relationship side? Have you set a date to tie the knot?
Yeah, we're actually scheduled to get married August 23rd this year in Vegas. Everybody's
awesome.
Invited.
That might cost you a few dimes.
I'm not paying for it.
Well, Jesse, we really appreciate your time today. This has been a very lively interview, and I'm glad we got a chance to hook up. I guess before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to plug? Anything that you'd like to mention as far as like social media, how fans can get a hold of you, promoters?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let them know about Jesse Neal.
Anybody wants to book me, please email me at bookjesseneal@aol.com. Yeah, there it is. You can also follow me or book me through Twitter, at TheJesseNeal. That is my Twitter, and anybody can get a hold of me anytime on that. other than that, man, just I got some crazy plans for the future, and it's going to be definitely a crazy ride. I'm definitely not even close to being done wrestling, so it's going to be fun.
Now, I know this weekend you're Orlando wrestling. What other dates do you have coming up?
I actually got a couple of dates in WrestleMania weekend down in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, so I'm definitely busy in Miami. Not for WWE. Yes, please, hopefully. I'm crossing my fingers waiting on the phone call. Hopefully. But, yeah, I'm definitely, I got a couple shows down there. NWA Ring Warriors is on that Thursday before. I am on a small company called ICW, I believe it is, the next day on Friday. I got some other ones in the works, hopefully working for maybe a couple different companies, just talking right now, so hopefully I got some more coming up, but definitely stay tuned. I'm always tweeting about it, all the shows, and like you said, I'm definitely wrestling here in Orlando tomorrow and Saturday. Always always looking out for the indie wrestling, man. Always got to take care of where I came from. So,
absolutely. Well, again, we thank you for your time. We wish you and your fiance all the best of luck, and definitely stay in touch.
Thank you very much, man. It's definitely a fun interview. Appreciate it.